Chapter 3. Finding Father. The train rolled on for days. Once a day, it stopped in the middle of nowhere, and the NKVD opened the doors. They wanted us to know that no one could see us, and that we had nowhere to run.
"One person! Two buckets! Are there any dead bodies in there?"
the NKVD shouted at us. One person was allowed out of the train car to collect the buckets of water and porridge. Sometimes the NKVD threw dead bodies into the dirt outside. My head was hurting from the smell, and I itched terribly. Lice were biting my neck, behind my ears, and my arms. "How can the Soviets do this to us?" I said to Mother.
"When the rest of the world sees what they are doing, they will stop this," she said.
I cried into my handkerchief and allowed others to do the same. When it was handed back to me, I stopped and looked at it.
A handkerchief could travel hand to hand without breaking, I realized. I could use it to draw on, and then Father could find us. Every day, I added details, names, and places.
"Keep still," I complained.
"I was itchy," said my father, smiling.
"No, you're not. You're just trying to make this difficult."
"I'm testing you," he said. "This is what happens to real artists."
"There," I said, finishing the drawing. "What do you think?"
"What's that?"
asked my father, pointing to the bottom of the paper.
"My name," I said. "It's so small," he said.
"Nobody will notice that."
"You will," I said.
"Drawing," whispered the gray-haired man. My body jumped in surprise.
"I won't tell anybody,"
he said.
"It's for my father," I said, my voice low, "so he can find us."
"Very clever,"
the gray-haired man said. On the eighth day, the train began to slow down. Jonas was standing at the little window when the train stopped.
"There is another train. It's going in the opposite direction," he said. "There are men."
"Men?" said Mother. She moved toward the window and shouted at the men in Russian. They replied to her.
"They're soldiers," said Mother. "There is a war between Germany and the Soviets. Germany has entered Lithuania. The Germans are in Lithuania."
People hugged each other. Andrews and Jonas shouted, and Miss Grievous began to sing.
"I don't know why you are so happy," the bald man said. "The Germans aren't going to fix the problem. Hitler's going to create more problems."
I thought about what the bald man had said. Was it true? Were the Germans worse than the Soviets? Father would know. He knew everything. I grabbed the handkerchief in my pocket and thought of his smiling face.
Weeks passed.
I stopped watching for bodies being thrown into the dirt. I was so hungry, and I missed drawing on real paper. But sometimes good things happened. One day, while out collecting the buckets from the soldiers, Andrews found a beautiful stone of many colors. Everybody passed it around to look at it. This made Andrews smile. He was handsome when he smiled. Jonas often sat next to Andrews, spending nearly every minute by his side. Andrews had taught him a few Russian words that I had heard the NKVD use. It made me angry, and I hated Jonas speaking Russian. I knew that I needed to learn the language, but I did not want to. After 6 weeks and the third day without food, the train stopped.
The officers opened the door and told us to get out.
"Remember," said Mother, "we must stay together."
"Where are we?" asked Jonas.
"I don't know yet," said Mother. The NKVD had their guns ready as we stepped out into the fresh air. Andrews and the gray-haired man carried the bald man out of the train car. We were not at a train station. We were in the middle of a forest.
"We're probably somewhere in the Altai area, just north of China," the bald man said.
I could see mountains, and the sky had never looked so blue. The NKVD told us to sit in groups and gave us 2 buckets of water. It was the first time that I had seen the other passengers. There were thousands of people. Then I looked at the people from our train car, and they looked at me. It had mostly been dark in the train car, and we had not been able to see each other's faces in detail.
"Do you have a handkerchief that I could borrow?"
the gray-haired man said suddenly. I nodded and gave it to him.
"Thank you," he said.
He turned his back to me and walked toward the crowd of people. I watched as he said hello to another man and passed the handkerchief as they shook hands. "Pass it along," I thought, imagining the handkerchief traveling hand to hand until it reached Father.
"Look," said Miss Grievous, "there are horses and carts."
A group near the front of the train were put into the cart and pulled away by the horses. The NKVD and some other men walked around the different groups and pointed at them. The men looked strange, not Lithuanian or Russian. They had darker skin and black hair. They stopped at the group of people next to us and began talking with the NKVD.
"What are they saying?"
asked Miss Grievous. Mother did not answer.
"Hello," Miss Grievous said. "Can you translate for us?"
Mother stopped.
"They're selling us,"